Paul, you know, you fly into DCA.
Yep.
And you go in. And the difference between DCA and New York is everybody there is working like a six-hour workday.
Sure, why not?
And they're healthier than they are out in San Francisco and L.A. I mean, everybody's running around the river, healthy. Have you ever noticed this?
Yeah, I know, yeah.
They're all cut and chiseled. Joining us now, cut and chiseled, Jonathan Tamari joins us. Bloomberg government, Congress reporter. Jonathan, is it true you just took down an award as the fastest print journalist? It's some big race in Washington. Did you actually do that?
That is the case, and I'll tell you, I missed the ceremony so I could make sure I could be home in time to catch you guys here, and I appreciate you having me, but I apparently did finish as the fastest print journalist. So happy to do that. It was a 3-mile race this morning, although I'll say there's a guy who blazed past me, big dude. He's with the FBI apparently. If that guy comes to your door, you know, do not run from him. He'll catch you.
Jonathan, thank you for joining us. Congratulations. I'm glad somebody on the surveillance team's in shape. What is not in shape is our worry over the debt ceiling. We have an aged president with a horrific schedule in the Pacific cut short. Australia's out. Papua New Guinea's out. He'll be in Japan with some huge emotion in Hiroshima. And then he flies home. What's he going to fly home to?
Well, the hope on Capitol Hill is that he'll fly home to a deal that's at least close. He's supposed to come back on Sunday, and then obviously Congress comes back to work next Monday. I think the hope is that they can come back and have something wrapped up early next week because, you know, it takes Congress, even if they do wrap the deal up, it takes some time to get the gears in motion through the House, through the Senate, through whatever snags might come up in the final days to get something done by June 1st. So the hope is that there'll be a deal kind of near the finish line and that then they can close it. But, you know, these things are unpredictable. So we'll see if that's actually the case.
And Jonathan, we saw some news this morning that I guess Jamie Dimon, Jane Fraser, and some other big bankers are going to be meeting with Chuck Schumer today. Is that spectacle or do you expect any substance to come from that?
Well, Democrats have been trying to urge the business community to get more involved in this fight, to kind of put some pressure on Republicans to say, look, you know, the economy is really at stake here. You can't hold out for too many demands to get the debt ceiling raised. But to this point, honestly, the business community has largely stayed out of it, has kind of left it to the White House and Congress and Speaker McCarthy. So I think Schumer's hoping to get some more backup from the business world, but it's not clear that they really want to get involved at this point.
And, you know, at the start of this whole process, I kept asking, you know, who should I really focus on here? Who's really going to be the decision maker? Who's going to drive the bus? And it does seem like it's Speaker McCarthy and President Biden, and everybody else is kind of following behind. Is that the case? And is that the way maybe it should be, do you think?
I think that is the case. And I think, honestly, Speaker McCarthy has had a lot of success in dragging President Biden off of his initial positions. You know, initially, Democrats said there was not going to be a negotiation over the debt ceiling. There clearly are now negotiating over the debt ceiling. You know, initially, the president wanted negotiations to be between him and all four major leaders in Congress. He's now narrowed it down to the White House and the speaker and his designees. So McCarthy has certainly had success pulling things in his direction. I think once they're going to be the key players in getting the initial deal together. Once that deal is done, though, then you've got to look at the different factions in the House and whether they're going to go for it, because any one group can stall things.
I mean, the one group can stall things. Is at the end of the day for McCarthy, as Speaker of the House, there's the collective memory of the challenges of Speaker Ryan and Speaker Boehner. How much of that is in the zeitgeist in the halls of Congress, that Republican history that's uncomfortable for any speaker?
It's certainly there. And that's the big fear looming over this, is that if he makes too many compromises, could the far right faction in the House try to remove him? Now, the difference is, he has really brought that group more into the inner circle to help negotiate this. And his hope is that he's learned from the examples of Ryan and Boehner and has this group on board with him, where even if they don't support the final deal, they might not mutiny because they've been in the room throughout the process. That's his hope, at least. And it is a difference from how those previous speakers had operated.
Does it change things for you that Taylor Swift likes the Philadelphia Eagles? Does that make your life better, Jonathan?
You know, I don't think it's that surprising. She's from the area, right? And for my time living in Philly, you know, my experience was that if you were born there, you pretty much had to root for the Eagles or they would send you away.
So we look forward. Trust me, if you get Taylor Swift, we'll let you interview her. Thank you so much. Jonathan Chamaria, Philadelphia, Bloomberg government Congress reporter. Did you hear me? He's like a three-mile race. It's like an afterthought.
Well, yeah, what's that all about? You know,
and then he runs, 30 miles a day.
You know, runs back to do this interview. So good for him.